lot of fucking people playing games, like having a problem with something going on.
I don't know what this is, but I want to open it.
He did what? You did what?
Dex bonus.
Oh, yeah.
So, welcome to Dex bonus plus 5. I'm Samson Lancaster. And today, I am joined with Salvador Madrigal.
How's it going, ladies?
And once again, or for the first time in forever, Mo, Emery D. Williams.
Yo.
So, if for the listeners that do not know what the Dex Bonus is completely listener-run. We take your comments, suggestions, questions, etc., and we discuss them on the show.
Etc., etc.
And we recently have acquired our number one fan in the Canadias, Prem5410, a.k.a. Prem.name.was.taken, on the Instagrams, who is also, I think, goes by Soldiermon and Zarni on lay PS4s, I believe. And so for the listeners, he's actually got a question on pretty much, I think, every Dex bonus up to this point. And on the last Dex bonus, Dex plus 4, you can find Farts, Cunts, and was it Star Citizen? We sent out we put our email out into the ethers saying that if it's another way you can, if you want to get on the show, just email info@strcast.com.
I'm still waiting for the dick pics, dude. I was like, so...
Well, we didn't ask for dick pics. Send nudes to info@strcast.com.
That's the thing, though, with the email, you don't have to ask for dick pics. It's assumed it's you're going to get dick pics.
Well, at any rate, so I got an email from Prem and he basically asked, he verified first that is this the email that goes to STRcast, and I was like, yeah, and he goes, okay, good, because I have a lot of shit to unload. And then shortly after, I received an email in response to our latest episode, Indie Game Devs number 83, and our Dex bonus plus 4. And at this point, I will read Prem's email to you guys. Thanks for a great podcast again. After listening to your latest antics, including Mike's breaking shot glasses, and I realized how old and tired I am. Let me explain. My gaming started around late 80 and became a serious threat to my education when I played Warlords and Eye of the Beholder on Amiga. I quickly realized it will be hard to come back to Talisman and other board games, as back in the day I lived in Poland, and it was easier to find an illegal copy of a PC game than to find an illegal copy of a board game. I went to university in 92, and then a year later migrated to Canada to continue my university education there. Little did I know, Doom was about to land in my life and replace school as my main interest. The attack on school continued with the multi-user dungeon text-based games such as MUME. Then I played Meridian 59, and finally Ultima Online. Now the sad part, everything I played since MUME, and Ultima Online has gradually descended into shit where we are being presented with now, also called games. Long and hard has been the road to recovery on my part. As much as I enjoyed the worlds of Dark Ages of Camelot, Star Wars Galaxies, EVE Online, Lord of the Rings Online, and countless others, my dislike for the marriage of whole gaming development and publishing businesses began to grow. I started to notice the deficiencies early on that could be blamed on emerging companies and experience, but soon it became clear it was more than that. It was simply greed. Someone realized games can be profitable. Games don't need to be developed by shy nerds who need to realize themselves in the eyes of their peers. With that, a thought came that good times are nothing but a fleeting moment, and for more pleasure, one needs to dig deeper into his pockets. I applaud your energy on the subject of the descent of gaming into shit hole into the shithole that it is now. I agree wholeheartedly with you and Mr. Madrigal on the reasons why it is so. The unwashed and uneducated masses can have no clue as to the quality of the old games. How would they if they never played such gems as Ghost Recon 2001 or Rainbow Six and Rogue Spear in the late 90s? What would they think of COD and other shooters if they played the original PlanetSide? I used to get mad and preach on the subject of this dissent. I used to debate with younger players the finer points of gaming, the intensity and the rush of adrenaline in full loot games, but since the huge success of World of Warcraft, I realized that there are more Care Bears in the world than players like me. It's the norm to have quest markers, neatly outlined areas and crosshairs on quest targets. Reading is not required, people don't take chances and generally don't like to dig for answers. It's just easier in a world of microtransactions. It's faster and cleaner. I gave up the fight. I'm no Don Quixote, but I want to pass along the passion for gaming to younger generations, and I applaud you and your podcast for doing the same. Prem, aka many other names. P.S. Tell Sal that the first person MMORPG was not EverQuest, but Meridian 59. I looked it up. It's legit.
So how did it look?
It wasn't... The 3D in Meridian 59, it wasn't quite as 3D. It was first, but it was more like a Wolfenstein or a Doom kind of 3D look, more sprightly, not full 3D. So I guess arguing that fact is that EverQuest was probably the first full quote unquote 3D rendered like polygon style MMO. But that aside, a lot of knowledge, a lot of,
I see. It was kind of like a bigger version of say if you were playing with somebody who was playing like Hexen or Doom of the time, you know, yeah. Where it was a sprite and everything else was 3D, like the environment was 3D, but the characters and everything were sprites.
Yeah. Well, but before we get to our responses to this email, I just want to read a couple from our remote hosts that aren't currently on the show. Devin Steele replied to a post about this email. He says, "That's why I love Dark Souls and Bloodborne so much. It's guilty of some debauchery, aka DS1's true final boss being a DLC, but overall it's a refreshing departure from the AAA game bullshit." And we also have Jack Acevedo, who said, "That's why I love Overwatch. No DLC at all, and the things you have to pay for are not necessary at all. It's a really smart business model because it ensures that people will keep interest in the game, and it's a blast to play if you're playing alone with some buddies." Although Jack is definitely a fucking millennial. He's millennial as fuck.
Yeah, he's millennial.
Overwatch is pretty good, though.
Yeah. There's everything that you can buy with out of the boxes is cosmetic stuff that you can earn in game. Mm-hmm. So it's not like For Honor, where some of the stuff you can earn in game and a lot of the $790 worth of shit is locked. You have to purchase it.
Well, so Mo, what do you think about this small tirade that Prem has sent to us?
Sure, it's not tirade.
I wasn't able to figure that out. We'll ask him if it's tirade or tirade.
Dude, ask Google. Google phonetically sound it out for you.
All right. Well, we'll do that. I'll figure that out in a minute. But whether it's that or the other, what are your thoughts?
Well, that guy sounds like my kind of person, nice and jaded and cynical and old school.
Yeah, I mean, I think he perhaps might be showing his age. And I say he, but I don't really. I don't really have a verification, so let's just not.
Did you assume
their gender?
Especially in this day and age.
What's this? Let's see. What is? How do we pronounce this? Why is it making no sound?
Got to set it to speakerphone. Oh, both.
Oh, there you go. It's both correct. Tirade both? Or tirade.
It depends on what hemisphere, I guess.
I like saying tirade. I don't know. It sounds better to me.
Sounds more pretentious to me. But
exactly.
It's like, where's your wine cup so you can fart into it? And
see yeah, I'm actually curious about Prem's age now, but I definitely, I feel we obviously all share some of the same.
He's got to be feelings. Roughly around my age or Sal's age, I think.
Yeah.
He or she, whatever.
Sal.
He's older, probably. I'm guessing he's in his early 40s, like 43.
Well, what is your response?
Oh, it's exactly what we were discussing on the last episode. It's becoming to the point where, you know, this newer generation of gamers don't know what a good game is anymore.
Talking about my generation.
Yeah, because they've been fed shit for so long that anything somewhat decent is a really good game. Same deal with COD. COD set the bar really high for a long time, and now it's been so fucking low that anything somewhat shitty but still kind of okay is like the best fucking game they've had in a decade or something.
Yeah.
It goes back to what I was saying, you know, when I was a kid, when I graduated in 96, gas was like $1.25 and $1.50. And that the 50 cents was fucking outrageous at the time. I was like, really? This shit used to be a dollar. And now when I asked the guests that were on there, what do you think is a good price for gas now? And they're like, oh, $3 is amazing. Mm-hmm. I go, remember when it was like $4 to $5? That's how they get you. They'll give you the big dick for a long time, and then when they give you a smaller one, it feels okay. it doesn't hurt. They use actual lube instead of the devil's lube.
I don't know, I like the big dick.
And you accept it. And that's and Bernie Sanders said something to that point. Don't be a conformist. Always don't expect shit because you're gonna end up getting shit. Expect something better.
I'm sure he's paraphrasing what he actually said.
I can't think of his quote, but his quote was way on point when it comes to pretty much anything happening nowadays. People expect to get fucked. And that's not the way it used to be.
True.
The gaming industry used to be a good industry till corporations came in and money really came into focus. They put out shit that's cookie cutter, and they know people will buy it because that's what they expect. They haven't played games like back in the day where you got a full game when you bought a game. It's not DLC that's like they give you a third of the game and the DLC is what adds the full game.
Yeah,
you would get a sequel.
You also couldn't patch games really way back in the day.
So you had to release it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The convenience of the interwebs and being all connected through everything has sort of made it like, well, people just, they get lazy too. In addition to that.
And that's bad, dude. Especially when I'm on Facebook and they release a game or something and I'm saying, oh shit, hopefully it doesn't suck like the last one, or they release the game and it sucks. And I'm saying, oh, that's fucking crap. How can they release a broken game? And people are defending that shit. It's like, well, they got to patch it and they got to fix it and then it'll be good. It's like, asshole, you know, you're just saying, well, let me eat this shit sandwich and hopefully it doesn't taste so bad later on. You're getting shit to begin with and you're accepting it.
Don't accept it.
Yeah, don't fucking accept
it. Let's start with that. Let's start there. Don't accept shitty games. Like, you know, go if you get a game like and I'm guilty of this. I didn't ask for a refund for No Man's Sky. I should have asked for a refund. It's garbage. It's not worth the money I paid, even with the physical items.
Well, it would have been great if it was like $10 for, you know, indie game price. But
but I paid the more. I paid like 70 bucks.
An indie game was
and I got a discount through Amazon for the special edition with a little art book and the special case and stuff, and it wasn't worth it. It was not worth it. I lost interest so fast because what little I did play, several planets I visited, everything was exactly the same. Nothing. It was so repetitive and so similar.
Well, yeah, you got basically the entirety of the game's content you experienced in the first like couple of hours.
And then
they just fucking mix it around. They just
it's four worlds, and then they do variations of those four worlds and create another world. There's maybe 10 different species of land animals, and then they mix it around, like 10 of the water ones, and they mix it around. It's just like I said when we reviewed it, if you go right now to the toy section of any toy department, they got these either Marvel Hero or DC Heroes where you can, they're all like apart and you can take parts from different characters and just pop them in there. But there's only 5 different characters and you just mix and match them. And that's the way the game worked. And then recently they had a big patch where they added Rovers and some other shit. And I got on there and I was like, you know what? They're still not really adding much. And then somebody got into a big ass argument. Oh, what would you do with the fucking game? Blah, blah, blah. And this and that. I go, I would put something with substance. Okay. You're an interplanetary explorer, but you still move around in your garbage ship. And, your base isn't movable. You build a base on a planet. And then if you move to a different solar system, you got to either find your way back or just keep going forward. Right. You've lost all those resources.
So what's the point of making a base?
I go, instead of doing that, they got these giant ships that are in the game when you're flying around. Why not be able to purchase one or build up to one eventually? That way your base moves with you as you're moving around the solar system. You got this giant battleship that you got your home base at. It could be separate from the Nexus and the nodes that you can go visit as well.
There's a lot.
There's a hundred ways
they could have done this thing better. It's a matter of it's money, it's greed, it's people just, you know, getting big corporations saying, hey, we like your game, we'll give you this much money, but you got to get it done by this time. And, you know, initially they were like, they sold this game as this amazing thing that it would have to have taken years to develop to get anywhere near it.
Mm-hmm.
Even like if they just had a fraction more of what they promised, it would have been fine. But they was like bare bones. It was like garbage they put out. And I mean, we're just making an example out of No Man's Sky because it's so
then,
fresh.
And then we compared it. One of the last Dex bonuses, they asked about Star Citizen, and comparing No Man's Sky to, we compared Star Citizen to Dangerous Elite, and Dangerous Elite should have been what
Elite
Dangerous. Should have been what No Man's Sky
Deepest Darkest Dungeon
should have started. Yeah, that was a joke we made as well.
It's always a joke.
But that's the way the game should have gone. They started off small and they're building on it. And they're making real
also don't promise the world and say you're gonna give it all right at the beginning.
Yeah,
say,
and then not give you anything.
That's, yeah. If they would have at least said, hey, look, this is all we're gonna be able to deliver, that would have been more acceptable. But yeah, also at a lower price.
They could have released that as like an early access alpha for like $15.
Yeah.
And kept going, building on it from there.
Yeah. But even still, I mean, it's better. Cause like I said before, in the same thing with games like 7 Days to Die, there was more to that game in alpha for $20 than, or $25 or whatever, than No Man's Sky had for a full release at $60. And it's, I mean, even still, though, in general, though, I think one of the things that, because it's kind of hard, because it's kind of depressing when we think about this, when we talk about this, and we feel like it's all going to shit. But we have to also keep in mind that there are still really good games out there.
Yeah, there's nuggets, but there's very little. There's a mountain of shit that you got to dig through to find a gem.
Like,
to find a kernel of corn. If you know what
a
I mean.
Nug. I was trying to find a nug. We need to bamboozle some humans with our doggoo powers and get some nugs. But Devin pointed at something out, and that's the Dark Souls and Bloodborne and those games. Those games are good. And they are, for all intents and purposes, AAA games. And they were good games.
But the thing with that though is essentially they're the same game. Surge,
well, I played
Neo,
one.
The Surge, Neo, Bloodborne, Dark Souls. They're essentially the same game, same way of the only thing that's different from each game is the layout. But essentially, the gameplay is the same. Okay. The way also, the movements.
Also, you can find there are a lot of indie games out there, and there are a lot of AA games that are there, or there are at least some AA games that.
Yeah, indie games and AA games, a lot of them are doing better than a AAA game, just because nobody expects anything out of the AA, so they get more freedom to be more liberal when it comes to storytelling or how the game's gonna hash out at the end. Where if you're in a corporation, it's like, no, it has to be a cookie cutter of this popular game.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a cookie cutter of this MMO, and there's really no variation.
Because they're trying to think of what's gonna make them the most money.
Yeah, essentially, you know? Profit instead of play.
And something else we also brought up is like how we run our show. And that is what I was thinking is that we should make or publish or develop a game or something. We should write or develop design. I think we should start doing that, even if we fail or do something small, because we're the kind of people that would do it because we want to make. Because we want to make a game, we want to make a good game, and we want something that people will like to play. Like back in the day, I used to love AD&D Unlimited Adventures because I could make my own D&D games and then watch Emery play them because there's no one else to play them.
It was like me and him. That was it.
And the same thing with Doom levels. We loved making Doom levels. And we would make a Doom level, and then we would watch the other one play it. And that, I mean,
that was like some hardcore like DOS level editing.
The first editor was in DOS, with the Alchemy book. And then later on, we got the Windows 3.1 editor.
Yeah, that was
way easier to use. And I love doing stuff like that. And, doing that now,
That wouldn't be too hard either because they got Game Maker.
Yeah,
which dumbs it down so much.
Because really, it's less about right now. It's less about the fancy graphics and less about the big giant games, and more about just put something out that's complete. Like even if it's just a fucking choose your own adventure story, if it's good, put it out there. And we have enough talent, I think, on our show. We have artists, we have designers, we have writers, we have musicians. We have programmers, we have everything I think we need to do it. We have to do it, I think. But everybody's fucking lazy. was it Darksiders? No. There's something that recently came out with an editor mode that makes it basically like D&D.
Oh, god damn it.
I was gonna put it in the news.
Yeah, it's fucking
what was the name of the game? Who makes it? Maybe
it's a company that makes the D&D games. I forgot the name of the D&D. But yeah, it came with an editor where you can essentially make your own D&D games, and people can join in and play in it. Damn it. I saw it on my Facebook feed a couple of days ago. I can't remember what it was. Was it Divinity? Divinity 2 or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. Hold on. Divinity, that's not a D&D game though, is it?
Divinity Original Sin 2.
Okay, yeah. Then yeah,
it's called Game Master Mode, and it replicates Dungeons and Dragons essentially. Yeah. But there's also that Sword Coast.
Yeah, that one does it as well. And there's a D&D dice roll or something like that.
So like modding is something I think it's sort of like the opposite. It's like completionist stuff on things that people rarely play, like modifying a current game. But I think finding a way to simply make indie games to making the building of it more simplistic so that we can focus more on story and
yeah, I think if
gameplay.
The Game Maker one is still a little involved, but if there's a way, like in animation, Toon Boom mm-hmm. really changed the way you can do animation. It simplifies it dramatically to where anybody can make a cartoon if you want. If something came out like that for video games where it wasn't super involved, but there was enough in there that you can set up the controls and put in sprites or 3D or whatever and make it to where even the most creative person that doesn't have too much computer knowledge or background in programming can do something that's pretty creative would completely change the gaming industry completely. Yeah.
I think maybe we should put out there for our listeners, like, what would you like to see? Like, what do you miss? What should it be? Retro? Should it be 8-bit? Should it be newer graphics, which are more like, involved?
So many ideas, and I've been like kind of knocking around an idea. I told Yvette I had a dream, like not Martin Luther King, but
a dream.
An actual fucking dream. And I told
it to her,
and she said, you know, that'd be amazing as a short story or something. And I was thinking more of that would be amazing as like a short animation game. or a short game or even in as a game way of doing it. You can like that one, was it Gone Home or something? And there was another one where I think it was one guy and some other guy, they did a story about cancer and how it affected them.
Oh God, that dragon cancer.
Yeah. That one, like something like a narrative like that, which is a game, but it's, you're just working your way through it, and it's telling a story. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be something that's like adventure. It could be like an experience. It'd still be a really good video game.
Yeah.
If they could figure out a way of being able to program and do stuff like that a lot easier. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that don't have, they have really great ideas, but they can't get it out to companies because, you know, it's really hard to get somebody to listen to your story, but mm-hmm. if you can put it out yourself.
And then at the same time, a lot of people don't like to read, so when it comes to like
you're gonna have to do voiceover. You're giving them a pitch and you hand them a script or a, you know, the pitch itself, they're not gonna read through it, but they'll sit there and listen for like 5 or 6 minutes. But if it's like a big game company or something like that, they're gonna blow you off.
I mean like if we had an actual game, you know, because the old games were very text-based, like Final Fantasy VII, you had to read. There was no voiceover in Final Fantasy VII. You had to read everything. Fucking EverQuest, the original EverQuest, Project 1999, you have to read everything. You know, people don't want to do that anymore because they're bored.
You know, with that though, you can find a lot of hungry voiceover actors that haven't really gotten their foot in the door, but if you can offer them something that's interesting that they might want to do, you can put a game together with somewhat decent or really good voice actors that just haven't gotten their foot in the door and put out something really good. But you have to have the tools.
Or we could easily do it Resident Evil style.
We really fucked it up. What?
Bad.
What is this?
But yeah, I think, and this is the thought that after I read that email, it sort of like, it said to me like, well, we have to do something. We should do something more. I mean, we are getting the word out, and I do like getting the word out, and I like making people aware of this stuff, but I feel like we need to actually physically do something. And I think maybe it's making a game. Well, and I know I've said it before in the past in previous episodes.
There has been, like with Mass Effect, that's a good example of some actual consequences to the AAA game being put out that was a pile of dog shit, and then, you know.
Oh, there are consequences to fucking No Man's Sky, too. That dude fucking bolted. He's gone. Sean Murray New is gone.
Yeah, he ran off with like $50 million.
Yeah, he's like, fuck you guys.
It's not really consequences.
He went on a Coke fuel vacation and then came back later and said, oh, we're fixing it, I think.
Yeah, I just put out a few tweets later just to kind of string people along.
Yeah, I think maybe we should start by finding more games like Divinity, the original Ultimate Adventures of Dungeons and Dragons, Sword Coast, and maybe we should like mess with those. Because
the Neverwinter game, not the MMO, but the regular one, you can make your own adventures on there. There's tons of modules that you can import.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That people made. Like a lot of the people's, they did the fucking, what was it? Radiant Pools or something like that?
Dude, didn't we make levels for Fallout Tactics?
Yeah, Tactics had its own level editor.
Glitchy
yeah.
as fuck, though. That editor was horrible. You kept breaking.
You could, I think you could make multiplayer battle maps and stuff.
That's something too. I miss. I miss making maps and stuff. I used to make maps in StarCraft, too. Or not StarCraft 2, but also StarCraft, the original StarCraft. Is there a map editor?
Yeah, the money maps. The money maps on StarCraft
2 also.
Yeah, they did remake the money maps of StarCraft 2. Money, but beyond money maps, just like making interesting things.
You can make campaigns and stuff for StarCraft 2, I think.
It's so unfair.
Yeah, somebody's remaking, which game? Was it the Diablo 2? Within StarCraft 2.
Yeah, with the StarCraft engine.
So yeah, there's many ways of
I think so beyond us actually making a game, I think looking for more stuff like that, we should try to find more stuff like that and bring that to the masses, like report that stuff to the masses.
Yeah,
like
well,
mods?
It's
mods, indie games, gems, hidden gems that, you know, Child of Light. Etc.
Somebody's getting murdered outside.
Was that?
That was a car squealing.
Yeah,
out.
It was a car squealing.
It sounded like a woman.
Listeners
dying.
Can't hear that, but anyways.
Well, at the same time, in addition to actually looking for hidden gems, aka actual good games, I think on the consumer side, people need to be a little bit more discerning with what they're buying. They need to, instead of just automatically going, oh, this is COD.
Yeah, which is something Sal's been saying.
Yeah, that's not going to happen because it's so ingrained now. People don't expect to get something good. They expect to get shit.
We need to start protesting shitty games. not just asking for our money back or not buying them. We need to stand outside GameStop with signs.
Either that or start calling out game companies like on Twitter or something. Just
Twitter.
Make sure you tell them, you know, why are you putting out this fucking shitty game? What's your problem? I mean, people complain and shit like that already on Twitter when Mass Effect came out, there were so many memes and shit. I think that's the best, but the best way to get change is to hit them in the wallet. You have to hit them in the wallet or else they won't change.
Yeah.
And that's hard when people are pre-ordering games just because, you get an extra map or you get a shitty beginner item that's
or you
only
get a cool
useful.
Figurine, Sal.
No,
that's the exception, Mo. If you get a physical item, it's okay to pre-order.
A physical item, and I haven't fully paid for the game. I get access to the open beta just because
okay.
Of $5.
Well, I think you need access to the game. You need a preview to the game and a physical item.
That was the way it used to be before the game came out. They gave you a demo. Like every fucking game had a demo before. Yeah. Like, okay, you buy Final Fantasy, you get a demo for this game, or if you're a PC gamer, that was a norm. You get a demo before you fucking buy the game. And now you hardly ever fucking hear about a demo.
Yeah.
A lot of times too, they make the reviewers withhold the reviews until after the games
and that's,
are out.
And then that's another
thing. Yeah, embargoes.
And that's another thing, embargoes, if they don't give you a review copy before the game is actually out, that is a big sign, don't fucking buy this game.
Well, no, they'll give you a review copy, but they won't let you release the review legally.
The embargo. But no, who did this recently? There was a game that just came out where they weren't allowed to...
Persona 5?
No. Persona has that embargo where you can't stream certain amount of the game. Because it ruins the game.
Yeah, but then don't watch the stream, idiots. Yeah. That's the solution.
True, but that's Japan, dude. They're trying to control the narrative on that shit. But no, there was a game, I think, from Bethesda that just recently came out. Fuck, what was the name? But they didn't release any review copies till the day of.
Yeah.
And that's really shitty, especially if... if there's certain people that you trust that their reviews are right and unfair and balanced for them not to be able to review a game that just comes out. It's kind of shitty because a lot of people depend on their reviews.
Well, Nintendo, for example, won't even let a lot of YouTube reviewers review their stuff. They only
you know what?
Allow a few
people. They're getting around that by not putting any music on the way YouTube flag shit is through music.
Through sound.
So they completely cut the sound out and they'll put in whatever non-monetized music in the background. And they'll review it that way, and they don't get flagged, and they can keep the money that they generate from the review. But that's, you know, especially if you like the game for the music, not having any of the sound effects or anything kind of, you know, deters you, but you're still getting the review out. Like shady companies that don't give any review codes out till either the day of or the day before. That should be a big ass red flag that the game is going to be broken or something's going to be wrong with it.
Yeah, because they're worried that you won't buy it if you know that it sucks.
Yeah, and that's why hit them in the wallet.
But guess what? People still buy shitty games.
Yeah. Andrew. I told him, dude, do not fucking buy Infinite Warfare. It's a piece of
ESO.
Shit. ESO as well. Even though I bought it when it was $20.
You bought it for cheaper though.
Yeah, it was a $100 copy for $20. So
yeah, no, I can understand that. But still, I see people online.
Yeah, but paying full price.
Saying how amazing it is. And I see people online saying how amazing the Switch is. I see people online because there are people that like to gargle the jizz of all these AAA companies because they're
fucking fanboys. Yeah, any kind of criticism, they'll go after you, dude, like hard. Like when I was talking about when they first announced the Switch and what was going to be in the Switch, I was saying online, you know, the battery life's going to be shit. The graphics chip that's in there is going to be a really shitty graphics chip. And people were fucking going ape shit on me, dude. They calling me a fucking idiot and all this other stuff. And when it comes out, all the stuff that I had said it was going to be came out exactly how I said it was going to be. And I went back and tried to find a lot of those people, and then I called them on their bullshit. I was like, I fucking told you. You think I'm fucking doing this? I love Nintendo. I want them to be better. I don't want them to fuck with me.
Well, they can't seem to get over the thinking
don't
they need
to. Don't try to fuck me, Tony.
They think they have to keep making gimmicky systems to do anything.
You know what, though? The Switch is a good system. It's just there's not much there.
Well, I still don't see, you know, with the 3DS, though, why would you want to switch if you got a 3DS? Because they see
the better graphics is you essentially have a Wii U in your hand is essentially what it is. But like I said, there's not much there right now to justify or warrant me purchasing something for one or two games. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Also, there was so many launch issues with the initial run of the consoles with glitches, like with the Joy-Con. I think it had radio signal problems or something.
That was a design flaw that they don't want to address as a design flaw.
And then the screen was getting scratched by the charge dock was another thing.
What happened?
Shit. Oh, God. Okay. It's not random. It's actually very much related. It says classified information, Nintendo top secret power. From agent number 427, and it's Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
It says, find Sean Spicer in the second quest to the Legend of Zelda. Find Sean Spicer will require the candle. Once you pick it up, seek Spicer in the middle of the map and encounter several media creatures nearby. Using the candle, start searching in the bush for Spicer, going from right to left. He can sometimes be tricky. We most often find him in the location shown below, but you might have a different result depending on your footwear. Send in where you found Spicy. And then it's fucking Spicer in the bushes.
You know what? That's funny too, because a lot of people have been printing out pictures of his head and then putting them on sticks, putting them on lollipop sticks, and then putting them in bushes.
It was so random. I just saw that right now what we were talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues. I think the console itself was rushed out just so they can get it out there.
Yeah.
But I think the second run is going to be a lot better than the first one.
Yeah, just like
just with like early adoption, you always get the first run of stuff. There's always going to be something wrong with it.
Yeah. Well, it's after midnight, and
oh shit, where's Hardwick?
No, not at midnight. It's after midnight.
That show is actually usually at 11:30.
It used to be on at midnight, but anyways, Prem, AKA. Many other names. We thank you for being a listener of our show. We are trying not to be too depressed about this subject. Mm-hmm. I think we want to bring more light into this, and I think we want to push forward and try to make this a better. I think we're gonna figure out a way. We're gonna find a way.
We gotta find a way to make the millennials not fucking suck so bad.
Yeah. You know what we need to do? We need to educate millennials on how games used to be and how they should be and how good they were.
That's why that whole retro scene is happening now, because they're slowly...
Yeah, and you poo-poo on it all the time, Sal.
They're slowly starting to... Well, they've...
We need to go check out Lost Levels.
They're
in Fullerton.
I mean, the retro scene is good, but it also sucks because millennials... ruin shit.
Well, anyways, we thank you again for your email, and we look forward in the future to your reactions and more questions.
Yeah, keep the questions coming.
Yeah, and
you always give us good questions.
And for all the listeners,
listen to this.
Yeah, that was a horseback. I'll take anal bum cover for. Was it 500? I don't know. Anyways, we will definitely look forward to more questions. And for listeners out there, if you want to get your questions, suggestions, comments on the show, if you want us to discuss them, look out on our Facebook, STRN, facebook.com/STRNgaming. Go to our Twitter. STR_cast. Our Instagram, str.cast. If you happen to be in our Facebook group, we'll post in there too for the next bonuses. Or this is probably the easiest one, just send an email to info@strcast. That is info@strcast.com.
You had to think about it for a second, too. How do you spell info again?
I-N-F-O.
See, he said it faster now.
S-T-R-Cast. You had to think about it the first time.
Does it have a number one in there? What's going on?
But yeah, shoot us an email, and we will get read on air, and we will discuss your topic. So thanks again, everybody, for listening. We appreciate you, and we hope you appreciate us. And Mo, thank you for coming back on the show. Mo rhymes with a show. I'm tired.
Mo show?
Mo show. Mo show.
Mo show, Mo show.
Mo show. Show enough.
I want that t-shirt. Did you see that t-shirt on?
No.
On the Facebook?
On the Facebook? On the Facebook.
Fucking amazing, dude. It has show enough on there.
Well, good night. Motherfucking horse.
Peace out.
Peace. Later.
We win.
I don't know.